Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to AMI Radio. I'm your host, Charles Green. Today we'll be speaking with author Deborah J. Mines about her book, Stinky Shoes, a delightfully humorous story that portrays several adventures and mishaps of the main character, Stinky Shoes, before teaching an important lesson. Not all wishes are good wishes. Miss Mines, do we have you on the line?
Yes, you do.
How are you today?
I'm wonderful. And how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Excited to be talking to you about your book. Would you be able to tell our listeners a little about Stinky Shoes? What's it about? Who is it for?
Sure. Stinky Shoes was developed mainly for my students. I'm a teacher, and these students are in grades K through 6, at least at the time that I wrote Stinky Shoes. At the present time, I'm teaching 6 through 9. But for Stinky Shoes, I had an audience of children, particularly grades K through 2, who were very interested in writing stories about things that would tickle their, well, just tickle them, things that amuse them, things that they relate to. They like stinky things. They like anything that makes big sounds. And as a writer, I had the responsibility of giving good models for the children for writing. After just giving them a magic box and shaking it so that they would get some ideas about what might be inside and ideas about writing something that concerned an object that they might find inside the box. Some children squealed, oh, it has to be shoes because it's a shoe box. Well, of course, there were no shoes in the box. There were lots of items. So I decided, since they think there are shoes there, I'll just pretend a pair of shoes are there. And I shook the box again and raised the lid, peeked inside, and threw my head back. Pew-wee! That was stinky! And the kids loved it. They were laughing. They were so joyful. I decided, well, they wanted to know more about these shoes in the box, and I started creating the story right there without the script written. Decided to go home and write the script. And, of course, I'm teaching children how to revise, how to edit. And that's what I did with the story right there, real time with them, and they loved it. It taught them also how they could do that to make their stories more interesting and more appealing. So the story was tried out firsthand on a live audience of kids. Anything that they were very excited about, I made sure I put more of that into the story. Anything that they were sitting there passively listening to, I said, I'll take that part out and put something else in. And that's basically the way Stinky Shoes was created.
And that's fantastic. And being able to, you know, for so many writers, they're just alone in their room and they're crossing their fingers that their audience will like it, but to have that live audience and to, you know, have your knowledge of children of that age. And I'm curious, since there, you know, must be so many children's books that you read to the kids and have them read, what is it about Stinky Shoes that you think kind of stands out in contemporary children's literature?
Yes, I'm glad you asked that question because with my experience of teaching over 20 years and knowing that there are all types of learners, there's all types of readers, I found that I really needed to design something that would appeal to not only the children I'm teaching to presently, but those whom I've taught in the past. And looking at that entire spectrum of children, I targeted the kindergarten through second, but the book has a metametric lexile level of grade 3. So you're encouraging them to go to the next level. You might be a second grade reader, but can you bump it up to third grade? And I also knew that there were children in grades 3 through 5 who were struggling readers who needed to know that there was something easy enough for them to read, encouraging them to read it, and also to expand their learning by giving enrichment. So the book starts out really easy with big words, onomatopoeia, pew-wee, And later on, you have more onomatopoeia, just words that make sounds. With that, you have words that, you have a lot of alliteration. You have a lot of similes. You have a lot of metaphors. The children are encouraged to look for these. Not that there are a lot of examples in Stinky Shoes, but there are examples that will cause them to look for other examples in their reading as they continue to read. There's also a palindrome in Stinky Shoes. I already mentioned onomatopoeia. There are just references to hyperboles, oxymorons. The children can look at the point of view, and it just extends their learning so that it's not just targeting one audience. I had one friend who had recently married who wanted a book for her baby to be, which wasn't being conceived, wasn't conceived, and she wanted to prepare for a future child. She bought a book and passed the book to her future baby. I had another friend who bought a book for her 9-month-old. She insists that the 9-month-old was attentive from the beginning to the end of the story and waiting for more. I found that amazing. And I also, of course, have friends who buy the books for their children who are in grades K through 2 and 3. I have friends who have used the book to challenge their children with, do you remember what a simile is? Do you remember what the metaphors are? Do you remember what an oxymoron is? Can you find alliteration in the story? And I've used it with some of my 6th, 7th, and 8th graders who had forgotten about those wonderful literary terms. I used it with adults. So it's a family book. It grows with the child. That's what I say. That's what's unique about Stinky Shoes. It grows with the child.
That's fantastic. And I mean, and clearly your skill and experience as an educator to have a book that is, you know, so well scaffolded, you know, because you have a lot of these kids' books and they're fine where they are, and it's hard for a parent to, you know, use them to teach. You know, Stinky Shoes is so entertaining, but also that just, you know, the pedagogy is built in for parents who may not know how to teach reading to their kids and can do it from home is just so wonderful. And so would you be able to explain to our readers what a class set of books means and why it's important to buy a class set of books?
Okay. In a class, you might have a small group of children. You could have 2 kids, but a small group is 5 many times. And that small group would need a book that's common for each child. So if you had a book of 5 plus 1 for the teacher, you could, of course, read aloud. The kids love that. And you can also stop at certain points and ask the children, for instance, I don't want to give away where various parts of the book are, but I'll just say if you're looking at, I'm just turning here now, turn to page, let's say 10, and you want to find alliteration, asking the children what words would cause you to think of alliteration on that page. Or if the children are struggling readers and they don't want to read a lot, you might turn to a page like page 12, where they're only reading one sentence and one more sentence with very big words. And that, of course, relates to the fact that this man had very big feet. And they get a chance to see the picture with the man with very big feet, and they love it. They love the pictures. Pictures paint 1,000 words, as we know, and more than 1,000 words. You can go on, and on every page, there are words that pop on the page. The pictures are popping on the page, and the kids love it. So in that sense, you're going to get the children in that small group really focused on the learning rather than having a large group and some children are not focusing, they're lost, they're not engaged. You get the children engaged. Now, if you wanted to have a class set of 25 where every child does have the book, you can have a spinoff where the children are writing a sequel themselves or they are writing a different ending. They are writing more metaphors after seeing one in the book. They're going to create their own. They are writing palindromes, which are very interesting, after they see one in the book. They are writing the story from a different point of view. You can spin off and have each child individualize with what their particular assignment is, if every child did have a book in that classroom.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. And I know that our listener base, we have a good amount of teachers out there, and it just sounds like the book is filled with so many potential lesson plans for differentiating
yeah.
between students and for the breakouts, and it's just, it's built into that. And, you know, for the breakout groups and for students working together, you know, and the level of creativity, while also prepping them for all of the essential, you know, state test questions that are always on there about literary
yes.
conventions, while having fun. And you really can't ask for more. So obviously you've you know, created it and used it in your classroom, and some friends
yes.
You know, have had interest. What has been the exposure to the general public? How have you been marketing the book and getting it into the hands of teachers and parents?
Yes. Well, first of all, I really did want to start out with a vendor's fair, and I did had a vendor's fair, and we had lots of success with people going through the mall. It was at a mall. People just stopping to check out the book and buy the book at the mall. We had also invited educators and parents, neighbors, friends, relatives. So it was a very joyful time, the kickoff for Stinky Shoes. And that was just last year in December. We also have, I have gone to other vendors' fairs, and one was at a university, one was at one of our five-star hotels where we were having a big conference. Another was in a small town where there were two elementary schools that I went to, read the book to the students, and they were very excited. We had, I believe, two sessions at one school in the morning and two sessions at another school in the afternoon. And that was very delightful, just to hear the kids' questions. They have questions afterwards, and to hear their comments and them asking, where can I get a book? Where can I purchase a book? And, it was a lot of fun. So these are some of the places. As far as the state test you had mentioned earlier, I did write state standards that related to two different states, and I plan to do more so that the states would know, the educators would know, and these are homeschoolers as well as those in public school or private school, so that they would know that Stinky Shoes can be used as a vehicle for teaching these standards, and knowing that the children were getting the standards that they should be exposed to just because they're students, and also because they will be expected to do well on the state test just for evidence that they have accomplished certain skills.
Yes, and would you be able to share which state standards the book is geared towards?
Yes, Georgia was number one. That's where I'm presently teaching. And also Ohio is where I grew up. And I have prepared state standards for those two states already. I do have a couple more states on the list because I'm thinking and planning to market in, I guess I could say that, the Virgin Islands. I do have someone in the Virgin Islands who is interested in purchasing books, and also Indiana. So I haven't written the standards that relate to Stinky Shoes for those to, but I do plan to. And of course, I'll stop there.
No, that's terrific. And, you know, and those state standards can be so tricky to find ways into a lesson, you know, without it feeling like you're, you know, teaching to the test, but that you've done the work for a teacher.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I taught for a few years in Louisiana. I was in a public school teaching sixth grade there, and that was always one of the issues that I ran into was keeping students excited and having the accomplishment be that they felt a sense of accomplishment and were excited, not that they were just cramming for a test. And Stinky Shoes, you know, really does that. And, you know, I think would give students a sense of just joy and accomplishment for itself without even realizing that they're prepared for those big
yes.
tests.
Definitely.
And so speaking of, you know, what you're working on, what are there sequels in mind? Are you going to take it to more book fairs and expand your readership? What's on the horizon for you?
I do plan to, I do plan to take it to other book fairs. I do have one planned, actually, for Frankfurt, the book fair in Germany. That's quite interesting, and I'm really looking forward to that with your online publicist. I also have just some small fairs in mind for Tennessee is one. I have a contact in Tennessee, and Georgia is always a place where I will be having other fairs. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. I mean, and it's just also so clear your dedication to it and how much, you know, legwork you're doing on your own and, you know, really driven by passion and education. And so I guess that leads me to the question of, are you a full-time writer?
Actually, I am teaching full-time, and at the present time, I am teaching grades 6, 7, and 8. I'm a reading specialist. Prior to that, I was teaching reading and writing for grades K through 5. Those were the grades as a full-time person. So writing has been after school and lots during the summers, weekends, of course. And that's been a joy of mine. Writing has been a hobby of mine, and I've been writing for quite a while. Mm-hmm. Just decided that it should go public with publicity publication in the most recent years.
So it's really coming from the heart, and, you know, teachers, spare time and teaching are not usually two words that go together. So
right.
It's just really incredible that, you know, you're spending that time really just dedicating both, you know, your passion and your spare hours to building something for all teachers. And so you've been in education for 20 years, you said, and
over
is full-time
20,
writing
over 20.
Over 20 years. That's
yes,
incredible.
Over 20.
And so is full-time writing something that you want to pursue in the future?
Definitely, definitely. I am a very experienced teacher. I said over 20. It's really over 30, if I want to be very, very clear about it. And I will definitely retire from full-time teaching eventually, and I will definitely write full-time at that time. Yes. Most definitely.
That's great. And so what are other genres or topics that you're interested in pursuing, especially when you take on full-time writing?
Yes. With Stinky Shoes, I do have sequels in mind. So I'll definitely continue with that fictional piece with children's literature. Also, there's the nonfiction piece that is extremely important. I do have a friend who is legally blind, and before writing Stinky Shoes, I had actually asked my friend if she would like to have her story written from her perspective, but it was going to be factual. She has quite a history of having to prepare for this journey of hers as a person who does not have sight. Her seeing eye dog is extremely important in this piece. She had to have training, and I was amazed by her story, how she had to go away, I believe it was in Michigan, to actually train with the dog so that they could match one perfectly with her. And to watch the two of them together, you would definitely think that she had some sight. And I was so impressed with her story, I wanted to know if we could put this story in writing. The kids would really get a lot out of seeing firsthand your experience, hearing about it, seeing the pictures, just understanding more the journey that you're going through. And she was all for it. We just never sat down and wrote more than I wrote maybe a couple pages. And that's something that I'd like to pick up and finish. So that would be a nonfiction children's piece. As far as other pieces, nonfiction, my mom is actually going through her journey now with dementia, and that is quite a story that I could sit down and start writing about now and stay here for hours and days and probably weeks. I have actually recorded sort of a diary of a lot of things that have happened in her life and with the family. That's a piece that I would definitely like to write at one point. I did read a couple books about dementia, Alzheimer's disease, and it's just another story that really takes you into a world that you might not really think about unless it's part of the journey.
I mean, what just so strikes me about both of the things is, you know, going back to the heart of education, you know, you have Stinky Shoes teaching the building blocks and the skills of reading and creativity, and then these other pieces, you know, teaching something just as essential in children, which is empathy and an understanding
right.
of people who are different than you or experiences that they might have or might be going through themselves with a loved one. And being able to bring that into the classroom is just so important to hit back home that as educators, you know, part of it is getting children ready for life.
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
that's so stupendous.
And I've taught children of various backgrounds, racial groups. Actually, the children for this first book, Stinky Shoes, was mostly a Hispanic population. And the characters do portray the children and the community. So I do have friends who have asked, are you going to, you know, change your portrayal of the people or the audience as far as who's pictured in the book? Are you going to picture this particular person or that particular? I said, sure. We're multicultural. We're multiracial. This is a multicultural world, multicultural society, and there are people from all backgrounds, racially, religiously, economically, and I'd like to reach everyone through my writing.
No, that's beautiful. And for a child, you know, to be able to look into the book and see themselves, you know, in a
yes.
society, in a culture where there's sort of a hegemony of who gets to be seen and heard, is just so deeply meaningful and such terrific work. And I just want to thank you for, you know, putting yourself on this journey and sharing all of this with the country at large and perhaps other countries, since you'll be going to Germany. So spreading the love everywhere.
Right. And I won't actually go. Your online publicist will go with the advertisement.
Great. Yes. Mm-hmm. But hopefully, you know, that kind of spread and, you know, bringing people together over it. And, you know, I really hope that, you know, people listening in on this, whether it's educators or parents or someone with a niece or nephew, you know, is able to reach out and get a copy or a classroom copy so that they can
yes.
spread these messages and educational tools all across
yes,
the country.
Mm-hmm. And as far as getting copies, it's best if you want an autographed copy, it's best to get a copy directly from StinkyShoes.shop, www.StinkyShoes.shop. That's where I will actually see the customer's name and address and autograph a copy and send it out. if a person goes through Amazon, they won't get the autographed copy. If they go through Barnes & Noble, they won't get the autographed copy. It has to come to stinkyshoes.shop.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you letting us know that because, you know, you personalizing it and knowing it's coming straight from you with love is just wonderful. And I'll make sure I put that with the episode description so that everyone can have that link. Was there anything
Great.
Else you wanted to let folks know about Stinky Shoes or yourself as a writer?
Well, just look for a couple of sequels coming out in the future and continue to enjoy Stinky Shoes.
Excellent, Ms. Mines. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, and thank you for all of your work in education and writing. We need it now more than ever, and I hope to be able to speak with you again in the future.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank all
you.
Right, well, take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
That was author Deborah J. Mines, author of Stinky Shoes, available at stinkyshoes.shop. This has been AMI Radio with your host, Charles Green. Read on.